Welcome to the Resting Pendulum. I am Peter Codius, your host. Our music is under license from ScottHolmesMusic.com. Season 3, Episode 10. Coronavirus. Virus or lifestyle? A climate update. The PRO Act. Women's Health Protection Act, also known as protecting all abortions, and taxing the rich and political deception. Welcome back. Let's take a short break from the negative tone that we deal with virtually on a daily basis. You may be aware of this, but if you're not, there was a recent ruling in New Jersey Superior Court regarding a lawsuit that was brought against the state of New Jersey by a mother and daughter who displayed a very graphic group of obscenities directed directly to Joe Biden just before the 2020 election, and they put it on their front lawn. You know, the four-letter word that begins with the letter F. Interestingly, they were represented by the ACLU, who argued that obscenity ordinances do not apply to free speech. And they won, because in 1971, the Supreme Court ruled that profanity is protected speech, especially in the political context. One would be correct in believing a judge should know this. You know? The woman is evil. I would be willing to wager that you didn't know that Nancy Pelosi this past Saturday buried on page 168 of the House Democrats' Human Infrastructure Bill a tenfold increase in fines for all employers that willfully, repeatedly, or even seriously violate a section of labor law that deals with hazards, death, or serious physical harm to their employees. What she's really referring to is President Biden's mandate that all employers with 100 or more employees have their employees totally vaccinated or there will be fines. Well, this is really interesting because the increased fines on employers, according to Mrs. Pelosi, if this bill ever passes, which I doubt it will, could run as high as $70,000 for serious infractions and $700,000 for willful or repeated violations. That's almost $750,000 for each fine. And by the way, the fines are independent of one another. So if you have a violation and 4 months later you get another violation, you have to pay the fine all over again. If enacted into law, vax enforcement could literally bankrupt non-compliant companies. Amazing. Here we go again. I went to Costco yesterday, and yeah, it's happening again. They are rationing toilet paper and paper towels. And no, they didn't have inventory of either. And you think people haven't had fear ingrained in their living thought processes? Even the slightest rumor scares the crap out of people. Wait until they realize that the Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J vaccines were all developed to specifically address the original COVID-19 alpha strain virus. There is no guarantee they will work as well against the Delta variant or those that will inevitably follow. Because mRNA vaccines instruct the body to fight off the original COVID-19 alpha virus, but not the variants. And they have the potential to spread more rapidly and infect even the fully vaccinated. If this is factual, I suggest you get used to living with a mask. Even though that most people either use cloth or a daily use masks for weeks or months on end, making them virtually useless. Now, how stupid is that? I'm guilty. You don't think I'm going to buy 365 of these suckers, do you? And change them every day? What my new approach to masking is to go into the store without one and get one when I get there. Let them buy the masks. I'm not buying them. And here's another little ditty you need to know about this virus. The United Kingdom has already contracted with the biopharmaceutical company CureVac and pre-ordered 50 million doses. Go figure. The power of injecting fear into the psyche of the people. We're liable to live with COVID for the rest of our lives. Or fear against getting a virus, one or the other. Here's something you may find interesting as well. It's a little update to climate. Have you noticed how quiet the left has become regarding their ongoing war against logic regarding climate change? There may be a reason for that. Because after years of having climate change shoved down our throats to the extent that Democrats and the extreme left have warned us the world as we know it will be ending soon from extreme temperatures, all of which are the result of man-made pollution. The resting pendulum has consistently sided with a more moderate approach to controlling these pollutants in the air by making better personal choices and relying on people to follow reasonable rules. We suspect that most people that have independent thought, or the possibility of thinking independently, would agree with that. Along these lines, let's explore what temperatures in the United States have experienced as it pertains to those considered normal for the 20th century. Okay? Now pay attention. This is really important because it's facts. And you know how we feel about facts. They matter. In August 2021, 1 month ago, 84.8 million Americans lived in counties that experienced higher temperatures than the 20th century normal. During the same period, no people lived in counties that experienced lower than normal monthly temperatures. That's all fair. Now, here's the interesting part. 244.7 million people lived in counties experiencing temperatures that were considered normal for the 20th century. So basically, 26% or thereabouts of the population experienced higher than normal temperatures, while during the same period, 74% of the population experienced temperatures that were considered normal for the entire 20th century. Now, as a refresher, the 20th century began on January 1st, 1901, over 120 years ago. So it seems fair to say that a clear-thinking person would deduce the climate in the United States has not appreciably increased to the point of destruction. Therein lies the silence. And you know, one of the favorite sayings of the control police, and the left, I might add, is, "Nothing to see here, folks. Just move along." So they're so hung up on government giveaways, the welfare state, moving toward socialism, and all of the things that matter little, okay, and they're hardly even talking about the climate. The only people that are talking about it are those that continually get paid to conduct baloney research. That's it. See, it isn't a hot button right now. Why not? If day by day we're on the brink, Why wouldn't it be a day-by-day update? The brink is close. Have you heard about the PRO Act? Don't you love the way Democrats use words? I'm not kidding you. I have great respect for their ability to massage. They must hire really good publicists and people that do marketing, because they could fancy up anything and make, you know, a pig look like Marilyn Monroe. They refer to it as the PRO Act when its full name is Protecting the Right to Organize Act. And this act, if passed, you could bet it'll be signed into law, would create havoc as the economic recovery, and many businesses are trying to make it past the pandemic, and Americans are trying to return to work. Democrats are saying the so-called Protecting the Right to Organize Act, which the House recently passed with all Democrat votes, is pro-worker, but it's not true, because it's purely pro-union as a payback for their support in 2020. In reality, if passed, it will threaten jobs and heavily tilt the scales in favor of labor unions, all at the expense of workers and job creators. In typical fashion, Democrats formulated an act that pays back labor unions for their support. Now, when one considers that only 35% of American workers in the private sector are members of a union, just think about the repercussions if this act is passed. Because if passed into law, it would override 27 states that have right-to-work laws. It'll threaten independent contractors and jobs. It'll expand joint employer liability, undermine secret ballot elections, disclose workers' personal information, prohibit mandatory arbitration agreements, and allow secondary picketing and strikes. All of that is harmful to America and our economy. As with virtually every action that's taken by Democrats, every single one votes in unison, even if it harms their state, just to appease Nancy Pelosi and the left. We're talking about less than 20 representatives in the House that are of extreme progressiveness, the pure socialists. But without those 20 votes, Democrats can't do anything. So 20 individuals are pulling Nancy's chain and forcing her to do whatever they want done. There are no votes of conscience, or are they even well thought out? They are votes because they were instructed to vote yes, or else there would be hell to pay. Simple as that. Here's another one. The Women's Health Protection Act. Sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, who would be against protecting women's health? It's H.R. 3755. And the full title reads, An Act to Protect a Person's Ability to Determine Whether to Continue or End a Pregnancy and to Protect a Healthcare Provider's Ability to Provide Abortion Services. Basically, this act codifies Roe versus Wade and provides for abortion on demand beyond the time of birth. And guess which congressional committee sponsored and handled this bill and got it through the House? No, it was not a health-related committee. It was the Committee on Energy and Commerce. Why this committee? Well, because in the words of the act, abortion services are essential to healthcare, and access to those services is central to people's ability to participate equally in the economic and social life of the United States. Abortion access allows people who are pregnant to make their own decisions about their pregnancies, their families, and their lives. And then the act goes on to say, reproductive justice, they love that word, don't they? Justice? Isn't that wild? Most of the crimes committed in our country of all natures are done by Democrats or people on the left. And they constantly use the word as if it applies to everybody equally. But it does say reproductive justice seeks to address restrictions on reproductive health, including abortion, that perpetuate systems of oppression, lack of bodily autonomy, white supremacy, and anti-black racism. This violent legacy has manifested in policies including enslavement, rape, and experimentation on black women, forced sterilizations, medical experimentation, especially on low-income women's reproductive systems, and the forcible removal of indigenous children. They love to mention the word abortion, so they continue. And they say, access to equitable reproductive health care, including abortion services, has always been deficient in the United States for Black, Indigenous, and other people of color, otherwise known today as BIPOC, and their families. Yet, no racial or ethnic group in the United States has a higher percentage of abortions than Blacks. Why the inclusion of multiple accusations that abortion laws unfairly restrict access to abortion by stating the legacy of restrictions on reproductive health, rights, and justice is not a dated vestige of a dark history? Presently, the harms of abortion-specific restrictions fall especially heavily on people with low incomes, the Black, Indigenous, and people of color, immigrants, young people, people with disabilities, and those living in rural and other medically underserved areas. Abortion-specific restrictions are even more compounded by the ongoing criminalization of people who are pregnant, including those who are incarcerated, living with HIV, or with substance abuse disorders. Now, none of that has to do with women's health care. You're incarcerated. Do you think you went in there because you were a woman? You're living with HIV. So today, HIV is easily treatable. It isn't a death sentence like it was early on. And with substance use and abuse disorders. And whose fault is that? Is that your mayor's problem? The argument they make is not only misleading, but also flat out wrong to suggest abortion is not available to specific groups of women. The most stringent abortion laws on a statewide basis, or I should say state-by-state basis, everybody's holding up Texas today, because Texas is basically a logical law at the presence of a heartbeat. So something that has a heartbeat isn't a human or of the animal family of some form. So if it's inside a woman, the odds are it's a human. And the odds are it's a person. It's no longer a fetus. It's got a heartbeat. The resting pendulum has looked into it, and I know of no law in any state that strictly prohibits abortion. They may limit when it can be performed, but they do not strictly prohibit it because it's the law of the land. It's called Roe versus Wade. What decent people are trying to do is say you can't murder people, those with a heartbeat, because you feel like it. Make up your mind. You've got 6 to 8 weeks, and then move on. Because, you know, if there's one thing you should learn, we all should learn, typical language for the left is facts are ignored to infuse emotion, only to come to a conclusion and then arrive at a decision that does not come from one's brain, but it comes from their heart. It's great to be concerned about others. It's great to have a heart. But a brain comes in handy now and then, don't you think? Perhaps we should use it. Pretty hard to reason with a heart, isn't it? The Resting Pendulum has a copy of the entire text. However, it would not be a good use of time to provide it in a podcast because, as with most acts or bills, it is chock full of nonsensical and inflammatory verbiage to make the other side look bad. And I'll go right back to saying it again. If you read a Republican-sponsored bill or act, you'll be very surprised to find inflammatory information in it. Democrats, on the other hand, include it in every single bill. They have to say something ugly about their opponents because they treat opponents like enemies. They treat you, if you're a conservative or even a moderate, as an enemy. You have to agree with them. You have to believe what they say. You don't. I remember when I was a very young man, and many of you might be Roman Catholic, so this might come as something not a surprise to you. I was Greek Orthodox and Eastern Orthodox. My mother was Russian. And in order to hang around my buddies, most of them were Roman Catholics, and they had a CYO, Catholic Youth Organization. So I got permission from their priest to hang around with them at their CYO and go to their meetings, but I also got to play on their basketball team. And we were talking one time about the Bible, me and a couple of my friends. And this is what they told me. Now remember, these are young people, myself included, and I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying this is what I heard from my young friends. We are not encouraged by the priest to read the Bible. He will interpret it and tell us what it says. That's all I know. Well, that's exactly what the left wants people to do. And unfortunately, I would say probably 75% of them do exactly that. They didn't do any research. They're not inquisitive. They don't even question things that they know are basically goofy. They just believe what they're told and they move along. And then they listen to NPR or some other liberal organization putting out one-sided opinion, and then they base their opinion on what their heart says to do, not their brain. In season one, I hope, I'm only laughing because I'm suspecting that in the early seasons, our podcasts were quite lengthy, and they were very detailed. So I'm assuming that if you didn't have a car accident listening and me putting you to sleep, you got a nap at what point in the day that you did listen. But nevertheless, in season one, in episode 9, I discussed a healthcare cost comparison between the United States, France, Germany, and Sweden, because those countries, those European countries, are typically held up as ideals. The United States is the horrible, ugly, nasty place that's full of racism and hate and Republicans and conservatives and Christians and Jews should all be slaughtered. And France, Germany, and Sweden, boy, they've got it figured out. They're the best. So I use them as a comparison so people would have an opportunity to learn the truth. So while I was doing that, this healthcare comparison, I also compared the cost of living to present an apples-to-apples comparison between the four countries. When I see on almost a daily basis TV ads that are sponsored or by or their supporters of the Democrat Party that always harp on taxing the rich and corporations while reducing the taxes of the middle class, it almost makes me want to puke. Why do I say that? Because they are once again forcing a false narrative. All taxes on corporations are eventually paid by consumers. And we do it every time we purchase a product or a service, period. Deal with it. It doesn't matter how much corporations pay. It isn't coming out of their stockholders' pockets. It's coming directly from their customers, the ultimate end user of the product or service, which, simply put, is you or I. But let's take an honest look at the tax burden of the middle class, our middle class. Now, I'm going to use the U.S. Census Bureau for the definition, and they classify the United States middle class in 2019, the last year that I could get statistics, having a median income of $86,011. Now, due to our graduated tax system, we have to discount the misleading effective tax rate, because the typical federal income tax rate for the average middle-class earner is approximately 17%. And yes, we have to also account for state income tax and personal deductions and all of that being considered. Now, the median meaning the number that falls directly in the middle, meaning 50% of what I'm going to tell you paid more and 50% would pay less. So using the median in 2017, the last year I could get tax information, the top 50% of all taxpayers paid 97% of all federal income taxes, while the bottom 50% paid 3%. So now let's revisit the tax paid by Americans as they compare with three very prominent European countries. For this comparison, we're only going to compare the gross impact. When we look at Germany, France, and Sweden, this is what we get. Germany, 53%. France, 41%. And Sweden, 57.3%. When you think of that, you have to know that the United States carries a significantly lower rate of taxation. Yet all we read or see is how the rich in the U.S. do not pay their fair share and the middle class is being victimized. Folks, it's a lie. First and foremost, the ultra-rich do not typically earn wages, and many of them rely on dividends or offshore accounts. However, none of these options are available to the average person. Secondly, the average middle-income American, as I said before, paid only 17% in 2017. So when you compare that to the European examples that I cited, how can 17% not be fair? Go to Europe, go to Sweden, go to France, go to Germany, and you better bring your money with you because nothing there is cheap. That's number one. And when you add the taxes to the cost of living, it's not easy being a European when it comes to building independent wealth. It's that simple. But it is what it is, right? Is that what we say? You can always wonder why, when we hear Biden say, we're going to close loopholes and tax the rich. Well, he also adds that you won't be paying any tax increase if you earn less than $400,000 a year. Do you believe that? If you do, there's a chance you're not paying very much attention to the facts. Because his own words are musing. No one making less than $400,000 will be affected by my tax increases. That, ladies and gentlemen, and whatever else pronoun you want to be called, is a bald-faced lie. And for more than one reason. He fails to mention that by taxing corporations, as I said before, workers' earnings drop because they don't get raises. The jobs are worth less to the corporation, and there's usually a loss of benefits, even though they may be subtle in the beginning, they add up. Then there are the higher prices for their goods and services, which means the rest of us, the little people, are subsidizing that tax increase on those corporations. Don't you get that? You don't really think that the people running these large corporations don't look at their stock price, do you? They live quarter to quarter, folks. Every 3 months for them is a new year. They have an investor call every quarter, and they have to give a pretty good idea to investors what their expectations are for the next 90 days. This isn't Japan. We don't look 5 years out. We look 90 days out. They live and die on a 90-day fluctuation of their stock price. Simple as that. So when you have short-term thinking for people that are self-centered and have one thing in mind, how can I make money for my shareholders, therefore making money for me? Nothing else matters. They don't really care about employees. They could have 1,000, they could have 100, they could have 10,000. It doesn't really matter. So let's look at what Biden's plan is. This is a beauty. He says he's going to add, I know this number is going to sound outrageous to you, but it is what it is. I don't make it up. An additional 87,000 new IRS auditors. Yes, 87,000 new IRS auditors. At the cost of $80 billion, okay? And yet, recently, there's been a huge personal financial information that ProPublica got their hands on, a left-leaning company. And there are some rumors that the information was given to them by people working in the IRS to target conservatives and Republicans. And if this bill passes Congress, there will no longer be any financial privacy for individuals, which includes you, by the way, or small businesses anywhere in our country. Just imagine the IRS having access to anyone's bank account where the actual annual cash flow exceeds $10,000. That's money in and money out. So if you use a bank, if you use a credit card that comes through a bank and you pay the bill, if that annual number exceeds 10,000, the IRS will have full access to it. So in plain language, if your rent or mortgage payment exceeds $950 a month, the IRS will have access to all of your financial transactions. Does that sound like something that happens in a free country? One that protects one's right to privacy? It doesn't sound very private to me. The good news for union members, though, when it comes to these tax increases, and there'll be no more income tax, is they and only they will be able to deduct their union dues from their income, lowering their tax burden. Now, if that element doesn't have a vote-buying tone to it, you're not paying attention. Union members will be able to deduct their union dues off their taxes. And you know that leak I talked about with ProPublica and the reporting of your cash flow in and out? It also includes PayPal and Venmo because they will be monitored as well in this bill. What is more ironic to me is that according to a new report by the Congressional Research Service and published in the New York Post, Joe Biden has an unpaid federal tax bill of $500,000. I wonder if we'll hear more about him not paying his fair share. What the hell is going on? That's the question I have. Our country is being led directly down a path to socialism, and we voted for it, proving once again that you always get what you vote for. Expanding the IRS by 87,000 auditors is a guaranteed upcoming nightmare for small business and individuals. Why? Because they do not have the financial resources to fight back when the IRS embarks on a fishing expedition. And in the event you're not aware of this, if you have a small business, if you are a person that gets audited, your CPA will do you no good, because there is no law that protects confidentiality between a CPA and a client. The only time you're protected is if you're represented by an attorney. And that, my friends, is a fact. Thank you for listening. And remember, every day when you awake, commit to doing the right thing, the right way, for the right reason. Until next time.